Jesus Christ, a door is open between heaven and earth. Exciting days ahead because that door has been closed and people have shook their fists and mocked God because he doesn't seem to be in his universe. He doesn't seem to be in control. He seems to have left us all on our own. And this is the lament of humanity. Show us God. Well, humanity is going to be sorry they asked that because the door is going to be open. Now it's closed, but the door is going to be open and God's going to show himself profoundly, literally, visible means, amazingly potent signs. And the doors between heaven and earth are going to be thrown open. And people are going to then hide from God. The God who they dared to show up, they're now going to wish he would go back. But once he's come down, once the, quote, genie is out of the bottle, unquote, he's not going back. And he's coming down visibly to interfere with our little world. He's going to collapse our cake. He's going to break our piñata. He's going to ripple our lake. He's going to drop a stone in our little pond. And the earth is going to be better for it in the long run. Hi, everybody. This is Martin Zender, and we have come to the end of another broadcast week. And we are going to end on a high note with a vision of heaven. I'm going to use this passage in the unveiling to talk about our expectation and to talk about what heaven really is. Is John seeing a literal door? He is seeing a literal door, but the door represents something. John is seeing representations of realities. The reality is that there is a heaven. The reality is that there are two spheres, and only two spheres, the heavens and the earth. And this is a big clue for us. I mentioned this to you yesterday. It's a big clue for us that in the opening strains of God's communication with humanity in Genesis, in a beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's it. There's nothing else. It's the heaven and the earth. And this is a simple truth, and these are the truths I love the most. If it's not on earth, it's in heaven. Going to prove that to you. But first, I want to show you a parallel passage. I talked about Colossians 3, about our life being hid together with Christ and God, and that we're to be disposed to that which is above, and that we're now hid. It's always a marvel to me, you've heard me say this, how unrecognized we are. And it goes back to our Lord, how he was unrecognized. Because heaven came to visit earth, but it was veiled, and now everything's veiled. And that's the whole thing of the unveiling. Get it? Unveiling. Everything's going to be unveiled. But right now it's veiled. And we're veiled too. And the day of our unveiling is coming. Just as Jesus Christ is going to be unveiled from heaven to the earth, we are going to be unveiled to the universe when he comes for us. And he's going to show us off to the universe. For whenever Christ, our life should be manifested. I'm in verse 4 of Colossians 3. You also shall be manifested together with him in glory. We're not going to be manifested on the earth. That's Israel's place. John saw a door opened between heaven and earth because Jesus is coming to earth. For us, he's going to snatch us away in the air, in heaven. And we're not coming back to earth. We're not returning to earth with Jesus Christ. Show me that passage. It's not there. We're going to be with him in the celestial realm. Now, here's a parallel passage to that verse, and I alluded to it earlier this week when I talked about where our realm is inherent. Let's start with verse 17 of Philippians 3. I'm going to still define heaven, but I wanted to go here first. Become imitators together of me, brethren. This is that doofus speaking, the one I referenced yesterday, Paul. Become imitators of me, be noting those who are walking thus, that is, like me, according as you have us for a model. In what way was he a model? He was a model of his behavior and his disposition, but he was not a model person as you would picture the polished, presentable, got it all together, always happy guy. This was not our apostle. And it's not you and it's not me. For many are walking, of whom I often told you, yet now I'm lamenting as I tell it. who are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose consummation is destruction. Listen to this. Whose God is their bowels, and whose glory is in their shame. Their God is their bowels. The bowels speaks of human desire. The literal Greek word here is kalia. It means cavity. The innermost craving of humanity. It speaks of the soul. It speaks of the soulish longings. It opposes spiritual things. That's their God. Israel's God is their Baal. They're going to make an alliance with the nations to supply their soulish needs, their bowels. You could say your literal bowel, your large intestine, small intestine, all the cavities in your body. That's pretty gross, Paul, but it really speaks to that which is human and earthly and the worst parts of humanity. That is the basest parts, the parts that don't rise above our human, our physical needs. There's more to that. And whose glory is in their shame, who to the terrestrial are disposed. There it is. To the terrestrial are disposed. Now, Israel is supposed to be disposed to the terrestrial. This is why there are many Jews who want to rule and reign, because it's in them to rule and reign. And it's in some people to take the reins of government, not necessarily Jews, but people. And these kinds of people gravitate to the Israel message, to the gospel of the circumcision, because their realm maybe is inherent in the terrestrial. But our realm, verse 20, Philippians 3, is inherent in the heavens, out of which we are awaiting a Savior also, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transfigure the body of our humiliation to conform it to the body of his glory, in accord with the operation which enables him even to subject all to himself. As much as he's able to subject everything to himself, that same power he's going to use to subjugate the universe is the same power he's going to use to change your body. So if he can subject the universe, I dare say that he can subject your little body of humiliation and change it. So it's no big feat for him. Anything that's not on the earth is in heaven. Genesis 1:30 talks about the fowls of the air, literally the birds of heaven. So the birds are in heaven. The dew comes from heaven. Genesis 27:28. The dew comes from heaven. What? It comes from outer space, from the planets. Which planet does dew come from? It comes from the atmosphere that surrounds us. It's where the birds fly, the birds of heaven. Heaven is where you wave your arm. It's not earth. It's in the air. Heaven concludes the air. It's not just confined, however, to the vicinity immediately around the earth. It also includes stellar space. It does include the stars and the planets, that which we see. But the most powerful telescope, which is to date, would it be the Hubble? Is that the strongest one to date? As far as that thing can see, it still has not pierced the realm where we're going. I'm going to get to that. There's a special term used. Now, the Greek word translated heaven is ouranos, O-U-R-A-N-O-S, and it means see up. That's the literal elements, two words, see and up. In other words, whatever you see when you look up, that's heaven. People think it's primitive to look up into heaven. Now, don't be so primitive. God's everywhere. Well, it's perfectly right to look up into heaven. Jesus went up into heaven, did he not? I used to be mocked for believing this. Oh, Martin, you believe that Jesus Christ went into heaven? Heaven is everywhere. Well, it's see up. It's what you see when you look up. It's not on earth. So if you want to see heaven, you don't look down because you're looking into the crust of the earth. You look up. When people instinctively look up for their deliverance, Lord, you know. I go back to Seinfeld. You remember George Costanza's dad. I forget what his first name was. Costanza. The one episode where he was trying to find peace and he looked up to heaven and say, "Serenity now! Serenity now!" People instinctively look up. And that's right. That's an instinct. People know. People are smarter than some of the people who think they're spiritual. They look inward for heaven. No, it's not. It's anything you see up. But there's a stronger term, actually, and it's epuranos. It's on heavens. And that term is translated in the Concordant version as celestial. It's on heavens. And the body of Christ's blessings are said to be among the celestials. Now, the kingdom that John is looking for comes down from heaven. Even the New Jerusalem comes down from heaven. And when John sees a door open between heaven and earth, it means that God's will is about to be done on earth as it is in heaven. So it's coming from heaven to the earth, and it's going to settle on the earth. And the kingdom of the heavens that Jesus talked about so often in the book of Matthew is located on the earth. However, never before in the whole of Scripture was the word among used with the term celestial, or even with the term heaven, among the heaven, among the celestials, among. We are to be among those beings who are above the highest heavens. So heaven can't be located per se. It's not a geographical location. It's everywhere that's not on the earth. However, there are high heavens, and I've looked into the sky, into the night sky, and seen the stars and the Big Dipper and the moon. And I thought, it looks awful cold and dark there. That's where I'm going? No, that's not where you're going. There's a realm, we can only see a brief part of the heavens, of the celestial, the on heavens. The celestial could be referring to stellar space, where the planets and stars are. It also could be, and is, speaking of a realm that's above that, that's higher than that, that we have not seen. Paul went into the third heaven and he was stunned. He had seen the stars before. He had navigated by the stars. There was something he saw that exceeded the heavenly bodies we see. It's among the celestial. The celestials. Now, here's something A. Enoch writes in his book, The Unveiling of Jesus Christ, that I disagree with. He talks about reigning, and he talks about us reigning, and we are going to reign among the celestials. We will reign, he says, not in some well-defined capital of the universe, but throughout the starry fields of space. I disagree with him here. I agree in principle with that heaven includes everything that is not earth, and that there are on heavens. But within that trackless, infinite, I almost said void of space, because that's the term we use. It's not a void, it's populated. I believe within that realm there are jurisdictions. We're going to see this with the 24 elders. There are cities, there are capitals. I believe that the New Jerusalem that comes down to earth is based on a model of another Jerusalem. I think there are cities and, yes, structures of government and powers. Paul talks of sovereignties, authorities, and world mights among the celestials. So there are defined capitals. There are defined capitals. I'm not saying that heaven is defined or that even the celestial realm is defined, because it's so vast it can't be located, but sectors of the universe can be. If there are 24 elders who are in charge of 24 sectors of heaven, then there are patches, there are realms within the larger realm that can be said to be districts or realms of authority that may contain capitals. That excites the daylights out of me, because eye has not seen nor ear heard what God has in store for those who love him. For Israel, it's the earth, and they can see it, albeit the earth is going to be regenerated. But they have a sense of what it's going to be like. Just look to Eden, and you'll get a picture of what the regenerated earth will be like for regenerated Israelites. But if you want to see into our realm, you can go to the largest, most expensive observatory on the planet Earth, or you can look at all the photographs taken by the Hubble telescope. And eye has not yet pierced, except for Paul's, when he went to the third heaven, what we are coming into, and the capitals, and the cities, and the jurisdictions where our realm is inherent. A door open in the heaven? Man, that's more than a door, isn't it? We're not going to work our way through barely ajar door. We are going to be snatched away and presented to the universe. Wow.